welcome to another edition of the UK Law Weekly podcast with me, your host, Marcus Cleaver. This week we are going to be looking at the case of Canada Square Operations Limited and Potter. The citation for this case is 2023 UKSC 41. But before I begin the episode this week, I would like to take the time to dedicate it to a listener who left a 5-star review of the podcast. Dr. Borat Pepper said, "I'm an experienced lawyer and, like most lawyers, have settled into a fairly narrow day-to-day area. This podcast is excellent for keeping the brain going and considering the wider legal landscape, and its presentation and format is easy to follow and enjoyable while walking the dog."
Very nice. Thank you to Borat for leaving such kind words.
Anyway, this week we return to the wonderful world of PPI and also the application of limitation periods under the Limitation Act 1980. For those who don't know, the idea behind that legislation is that it sets out time limits for various legal claims. For the purposes of these proceedings, we will be focusing on Section 32. In particular, Section 32(1)(b) can postpone the start of an ordinary limitation period if a fact that is relevant to a claimant's right of action has been, quote, deliberately concealed, end quote, from them by the defendant. That seems fair enough. Section 32(2) then provides a bit more information by telling us that, quote, deliberate commission of a breach of duty in circumstances in which it is unlikely to be discovered for some time amounts to deliberate concealment of the facts involved in that breach of duty. End quote. In this case, the Supreme Court was asked what it means for something to be deliberately concealed. The context for all of this is whether a claim by Mrs. Potter was issued too late and should be time-barred. Back in 2006, she entered into a credit agreement with Canada Square, which was then known as Egg Banking. Potter borrowed just over £20,000 from the bank, and that comprised a loan of about £17,000 and payment protection for more than £3,000. The issue is with that payment protection insurance because about 95% of it went directly to Canada Square as commission, and in reality the insurer only received less than £200. Potter was not told about this commission, and the agreement eventually ended in 2010. Several years later, in 2018, Potter brought a claim against Canada Square, seeking to recover the amount that she had paid for the policy, plus interest. It was alleged that the failure to disclose the commission rendered the relationship unfair within the meaning of Section 140A of the Consumer Credit Act 1974, and so she was entitled to apply for a remedial order. For their part, Canada Square submitted that it was too late for Potter to bring her claim because of the limitation period of 6 years imposed by the Limitation Act 1980. This is where the discussion around Section 32 begins, because Potter responded by arguing that the limitation period should not be considered to have begun until she found out about the commission in late 2018. The county court agreed with Potter and held that Section 32 did apply in this case. This was a conclusion that both the High Court and the Court of Appeal agreed with, and so Canada Square appealed to the Supreme Court, which is where we pick things up. So, as a quick reminder, a claimant like Potter who wishes to rely on Section 32(1)(b) must show that there was a fact relevant to their claim that was deliberately concealed by the defendant. But what does it mean for something to be deliberately concealed? The justices began with the meaning of concealed, and noted that something will be concealed if it is kept secret from the claimant, either by taking active steps to hide it, or by failing to disclose it. Interestingly, while previous authority on this point suggested that the defendant must be under a legal, moral, or social duty to disclose the salient fact, the Supreme Court held that not only was this not necessary, but it does not need to be shown that the defendant knew the fact was relevant to the claimant's right of action. put simply, all that is required in this situation is that the defendant deliberately ensures that the claimant does not know about the fact in question, so that claimant is therefore unable to bring the proceedings within the ordinary time limit. Moving on to the meaning of deliberately, the justices held that this word indicates an intention to conceal the relevant fact. The Court of Appeal had found that deliberately also means recklessly in this context, but that was a conclusion rejected by the Supreme Court. If we apply this complete definition to the facts of this case, the commission was certainly a relevant fact in relation to the claim under Section 140A of the Consumer Credit Act 1974. This fact was deliberately concealed from Potter because Canada Square consciously decided not to tell her. While it is true that Section 140A was not in force when Canada Square originally decided not to make the disclosure, they did continue to withhold the information even after Section 140A was brought into force, even as the agreement with Potter remained ongoing and commission continued to be paid. As such, the claim against Canada Square was not time-barred because of the application of Section 32(1)(b). Before we finish, it is also important to consider the application of Section 32(2) as well, because the Court of Appeal held that this provision also operated to postpone the start of the limitation period. As a reminder, Section 32(2) of the Limitation Act tells us that a deliberate breach of duty can also be considered to be a deliberate concealment of the facts. The Court of Appeal felt that the creation of an unfair relationship under Section 140A of the Consumer Credit Act amounted to a breach of duty by Canada Square under Section 32(2). The Supreme Court ultimately disagreed with that assessment. They held that it must be shown that the defendant knew they were committing a breach of duty, and that the breach must be deliberate. Here, deliberate does not include being reckless for a number of reasons. But firstly, the two words have different ordinary meanings. Secondly, the case law supports the idea that recklessness is not enough to satisfy the requirements for a deliberate breach of duty. Thirdly, Section 32 is not simply a restatement of the old law of concealed fraud. And finally, conflating deliberate and reckless would create practical problems. In this context, it has not been proven that Canada Square knew that failing to disclose the commission would render the relationship unfair under Section 140A, and so the breach of duty cannot be said to be deliberate. As such, Potter would not have been able to rely on Section 32(2). Now, once again, this case just goes to prove that the PPI scandal that hit the headlines years ago is not going away and could rumble on for many years to come. Only a few weeks ago, I covered the case of Smith and Royal Bank of Scotland that opened the door for many more PPI claims. And in the wake of this judgment, Reuters estimated that a further 26,000 claims could hit the courts, as limitation periods are adjusted to only commence once the extortionate commissions are discovered by consumers. There is a temptation when these sorts of numbers are revealed to think that this number is too big and could put too much strain on the courts. However, the likelihood now is that in the light of this decision, many of these new claims will be settled out of court directly with the banks that are responsible. Furthermore, it is no secret that banks make huge profits each year, and so another 26,000 claims is not likely to bring down the system. A more interesting point is the looser application of Section 32(1)(b) of the Limitation Act provided by the Supreme Court here. The definition of deliberately concealed is now much closer to the ordinary meaning of those words, and I think that this is a good thing. There does not need to be a specific duty, and so whatever the relevant fact is, all that is required is for the defendant to ensure that the claimant does not know about it, so that a claim could not be brought within the usual time limit. This fresh approach has wider application beyond the world of PPI, and it will be interesting to see how many other claimants will now feel less hindered by the strict time limits of the Limitation Act. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the podcast, and thanks as ever to bensound.com who provide the theme music. Remember that if you would like to be like Borat and have an episode dedicated to you, then you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and I will see it there. Not only does it give me a little ego boost, but it does also help to promote the podcast by shunting it up the search results as well. At this time of year, you are probably getting your Spotify Wrapped, and God knows mine tells me that I listen to too much Taylor Swift, if such a thing is possible. Podcasters are no different, and I learned that on Spotify, 56% of my listeners only discovered the podcast in 2023. That sort of growth is really exciting, and is made possible when you tell other people about the show, whether that is online or via word of mouth. Leaving a review is just another way of doing that. Anyway, I'll be back with another episode next week, but for now, bye!